Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Bob Donaldson. He has spent the last 40 years as a working foreman, a frontline supervisor, a middle manager, and a senior manager, and he's also the founder of The Lost Art of Collaboration. His unique training approach is found in his book and online course, and is massively helping middle managers and frontline supervisors to improve the underperforming teams they lead. He is the author of Collaborative Power Grab, a step-by-step guide for every leader on how to invite, attract, and cultivate collaborative power, available now on Amazon. And Mr. Donaldson, thanks for joining us here today.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for the introduction. I appreciate it.
Now, you're more than welcome in bringing 40 years of experience to the table. We're certainly looking forward to hearing from you in all regards. So for starters, what are the four ways modern-day leadership training fails middle managers and frontline supervisors, and how do you fix that? That would be the best place to start.
You bet. I don't like to just walk up with problems. I like to walk up with solutions as well. There's four of them that I ran into in my leadership career. One was the implementation that you're taught in the leadership training is not step-by-step. Number two is too time-consuming, and number three is too complicated, and four, it requires a culture change in advance. So all of those four items are giant stumbling blocks. Let's take them one at a time. Number one, you're looking for leadership training that gives you a step-by-step method for implementation, and unless it's doing that, you're not going to be able to do very well, and we'll talk a little bit about that in just a moment. Let's combine number two and number three. I don't know how many times as a young leader, I went into a weekend, two-day training class, and then I came in Monday morning and figured out that the fancy diagrams they were putting in my face for the last 48 hours were completely unworkable because it was too time-consuming and just simply too complicated to implement. Whether it's Jeffrey Pfeiffer, the chairman of the leadership program at Stanford University, who is well-read, or the Harvard Business Review, there are literally hundreds of billions of dollars of leadership training worldwide that's circling the drain before it disappears. Just nothing to show for it. It's that big of a catastrophe. So if you've been the victim of it, you join the crowd. The other thing that's overplayed is in order to create high performance below you, you don't need a culture change above you. And anybody that tells you that is kind of full of it. I know of 10 non-threatening ways to do that. And you don't have to ask anybody's permission above you. You don't need that culture change. That's one of the things that's been thrown around in the leadership training industry for a long time. So the takeaway is quit buying the garbage that's fed to you by leadership training, the leadership training industry. Sorry for stumbling. So you can take charge by avoiding these pitfalls and only learn from people who've done your job or similar jobs successfully. So if you're a middle manager, only learn from people who have been successful middle managers. If you're a frontline supervisor, only learn from people who have been very successful frontline supervisors. Makes sense, right? So that's my answer to that, Eric.
I like it. I like it a lot. And you, again, you certainly bring a lot of experience to the table, and we're certainly appreciative of your joining us here today. Now, what are the three most damaging ways a leader fails their supervisor? Get into that a little bit.
And I'll tell you, this information's been collected from decades of training other individuals and having people below me not meet the expectations of their prospective supervisor. So the first one is people just don't meet the performance expectations that have been placed on them by their supervisor. So how do you fix that? Take each one of those expectations, sit down. That's right. Just sit down. And for each of your poor performance expectations, just write a paragraph or two of how you're going to meet or exceed each expectation. Now, this might take you several hours or several days, but it won't be several years. And it's very powerful. Every person I've trained to do this has used it to their advantage. So take each performance expectation that the supervisor gives you, turn it into a couple paragraphs of how you're going to meet or exceed those expectations. And it has an incredible positive impact, not only you meeting expectations of your supervisor, but your relationship with your supervisor. Number two, the problems that are being created by the underperforming team below you blow right past your desk and end up on your supervisor's desk. Number two is huge. There's no better way to kill your career than have problems showing up in the team below you that blows right past your desk onto your supervisor's desk. So the takeaway here, the best thing you can do is teach your entire team to be problem experts, problem solving experts, right? So go ahead and Google systematic problem solving or use mine. I don't care. But just teach the people below you to be expert problem solvers, and that can be done. And I know it can be done because I've been doing it for almost 35 years. And let them solve problems, and then you become a better problem solver. And as these problems that used to show up, that was blowing past your desk and onto your supervisor's desk, just stops happening. Number three, I guess, the way a leader disappoints their supervisor is they don't prioritize their work based on the same priorities as their supervisor's priorities. Now, one would think people just automatically do that, and they don't. The takeaway here, find out what the boss wants in order of importance. You know, this is why we call it a priority. And then use that same series of priorities and make sure they're being implemented throughout your team. Sounds simple, but so many people don't do it.
Certainly some great information shared so far, and looking forward to hearing more today. We're speaking with Mr. Bob Donaldson, the founder of The Lost Art of Collaboration and the author of Collaborative Power Grab, a step-by-step guide for every leader on how to invite, attract, and cultivate collaborative power. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, what are the two biggest problems that middle managers and frontline supervisors face? Touch on that aspect.
Well, I'll tell you, this again is just a collection of my own experience of being a leader and also being a leadership training expert as I go out and I cultivate and find out what's bothering people. One of the things I do as a trainer is, you know, I want to know what's bothering people. I want to know what their pain point is so I can help them solve it. And here's the two big ones. And every middle manager and frontline supervisor listening to this is going to agree. First, it's the underperforming team below them. I mean, this phenomenon is causing a conveyor belt of problems and issues and miscommunications that results in a massive amount of direct supervision. Every time your team is not giving you the outputs you need or is expected by senior management, you got to jump in there with direct supervision and make it happen, right? And so this results in a horrible amounts of stress, long days and weekend work. As middle managers and frontline supervisors, we've all been in that situation. The second big one that I see is the unmet expectations of leaders in the eyes of their supervisor. Whether it's the supervisor of a middle manager or a frontline supervisor, anytime those expectations from the senior management or senior supervisor isn't being met, it becomes very stressful. So both of these things combined result in a massive amount of direct supervision. It keeps the leader managers from performing other tasks that are required of them other than their underperforming team issues. It creates a significant amount of stress in these people's lives. I know that because I was there. And when you turn work into long days of weekend work, it starts to negatively impact your family life. But you don't really have a choice because that's how you're paying rent and that's how you're putting shoes on the baby's feet, right? So the takeaway here is increase the performance of your team and change your methodology on how you're going to meet your supervisor's expectations. And you can start using the information I'm giving you today, actually, to do just that. So if I'm not mistaken, we're going to talk about some of these types of things with the next question, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Eric?
Yeah, I was actually about to get into that, and I know it's a lengthy response. So as we conclude, what can middle managers and frontline supervisors do ASAP to improve the productivity of the underperforming team below them?
Got it. And this, I'm going to hit you with three or four things. They're very elegant. They're very straightforward. and they've been proven to work. Okay, so first of all, remove roadblocks on a daily basis. A lot of times our folks in the field learn to live with roadblocks, and that is deadly to productivity. So every day or every couple of days, go out and ask your people what's getting in the way of doing a good job today. A lot of times they just won't tell you. They'll just start working around those roadblocks. And it kills your productivity. So is it a decision they were waiting on from another department that you didn't know about? Was there a situation where a small amount of resource could have made a huge difference, lowering how much time it takes for them to do their job? I mean, the possibilities are endless here. So go out, ask on a regular basis, what's getting in the way of you doing a good job today, and use your authority to remove those roadblocks. When you do that on a regular basis, productivity starts to climb significantly. The next one, with every delegated task, make sure a person's name is attached to that task as the responsible person for completing that task. You can imagine what that power is like when people are assigned. You got to remember, when it's everybody's job, it's nobody's job. And that's exactly what happens. The next thing you want to do, or the second thing you want to do with every delegated task, is make sure it has a deadline. Now, if you're in a group that's not used to applying deadlines, believe me, you might get a little bit of a pushback. But what we do know is that the more pain, the more gain in many senses of the term, which means if you get people used to having deadlines over time, then it's just going to be a natural thing. The other thing is that if you're introducing deadlines for the first time, negotiate the deadline. Talk to the person you're assigning the task to and say what makes sense. Now, from a supervisor's standpoint, you're going to say, well, it has to be done by Monday. And if they say, I can't do it by Monday, I need it till Tuesday, find out why and maybe add some resources. Anyway, add a person's name and a deadline to every delegated task. That's the key right there. And because it's such a gaping opportunity, the payoff is huge. Now, remember, the larger the opportunity, the bigger the payoff. So it's worth implementing these new ways of managing the people below you. Okay. This one's easy, but it's missed all the time. Make sure all your one-person jobs are not being worked on by two people, or that two-person jobs are not being worked on by three people, or three-person jobs not being worked on by four people. Okay. You can see what's going on here. It's not unusual for people to team up on tasks. And sometimes you do need two people to do a job. You just got to make sure it's a two-person job. I mean, imagine, and I've done this before in different agencies that I've worked for, when I started splitting up the teams of two people and started making sure one person was doing one person job, think about it. For each one of those tasks, I just increased productivity by 50%. Or depending on how you calculate it, maybe 100%, right? It depends how you look at it. But the bottom line is, this is a massive opportunity for any middle manager and frontline supervisor. Just make sure that's happening. Now, you might be a little unpopular at the beginning, but just explain to them what's happening here and that you're required to do this. This is your job as a leader. Next, recognize every good performance you want to see repeated by the people in your group. Now, notice I didn't say exceptional performance. I said good performance, right? Also notice this key phrase, recognize every good performance you want to see repeated by the people in your group. You want to see repeated, right? And that's the key. The reason recognition has such a positive impact on productivity is that people start repeating the good performance that you're recognizing. And isn't that what you want? You want good performance repeated. And the best way to do that is to recognize it. Now, think about what happens when you do that on a regular basis. Imagine the 10 examples of good performance that happened in your department over the last 2 weeks that are then repeated. And then the next 10 examples of good performance that happened in your department the next 2 weeks are repeated. Can you see what's happening here? And the reason I know this works is I developed this process back in 1985, and it was phenomenal. So, go out there, in purely scientific terms, because the human brain, which includes your brain, is designed to give you a shot of dopamine every time you experience a pleasurable situation. And because you're human, you have a tendency to repeat whatever you did to invite that next pleasurable situation. This is exactly why good performance is repeated, and it causes productivity to skyrocket. So those are my big takeaways today, Eric, on how middle managers and supervisors can turn right around tomorrow and use these ideas to make a difference in their workplace.
Again, Mr. Donaldson, we want to thank you for joining us here today for all the insight and advice and information shared per your 40 years plus of expertise. Tell us, obviously you're the author, as we mentioned, of the Collaborative Power Grab. It is a step-by-step guide for every leader on how to invite, attract, and cultivate collaborative power. Where can folks get more information on the book, pick up the book, and also on the lost art of collaboration?
Yeah, you bet. That is the URL, www.thelostartofcollaboration.com. And that website has a clearinghouse of my book, The Collaborative Power Grab, the step-by-step guide for every leader on how to invite, attract, and cultivate collaborative power. And all the starting now actions of the 15 steps that are in that book are also contained in Journey of Heroes online course, which is being released late February. We're pretty excited about that. So if you go to thelostartofcollaboration.com, you can see everything on that front screen, and you can navigate to wherever you want to go on the services that we offer. So thanks for asking that.
Hey, and you're certainly more than welcome, and we'll include that link within the show notes of this broadcast as well for the convenience of the audience. Again, Mr. Donaldson, all the best. Look forward to another conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure, Eric. Thanks for the invitation.
Hey, you're certainly more than welcome anytime. We've been speaking with Mr. Bob Donaldson, the founder of The Lost Art of Collaboration and the author of Collaborative Power Grab, a step-by-step guide for every leader on how to invite, attract, and cultivate collaborative power. And once again, for all the information, visit thelostartofcollaboration.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of VPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.